Well, hello, fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to the very best seat in the house for the world of fancy baseball that is behind home plate. My name's Johnny Gould, baseball fanatic, baseball fan, but sadly, baseball useless. Thankfully for me, I've got my good mate and fancy baseball legend, Mr. James Holden, and as the name would suggest, here to hold my hand. Jimbo, how are you, sir?
I'm good, although I'm suddenly getting visions of you at a karaoke night singing some Beatles anthems.
I love the Beatles. Beatles, that's about as trendy as it got for me as well, as the biggest fan of Neil Diamond, which we've mentioned on many, many occasions. We've got a packed show today, Jimbo.
We have.
Are you ready for this? Are you up to it?
I know, very much. Research? I am ready. Some of my fantasy teams, it would appear, are distinctly still in hibernation, but I am ready. And as ever, a big pleasure to be here and spend some quality time with you, John.
But if it's any consolation, my fantasy teams are in free fall across the board. Part of the problem being that tomorrow is my son, Tommy G's 18th birthday. I bought him a birthday card. I want to know if you think it's good. Happy 18th birthday. Your childhood is finally behind you. In front of you is debt, divorce, and death. Enjoy. Is that a good card? Do you think that's going to strike the right note?
Well, I think, you know, you can be honest and then you can be too honest, can't you? So,
but, he's bankrupting me. You think I'm going to be nice? You think I'm going to compliment him? Send the crows,
happy birthday, Tommy G.
Very kind of you. Well, if you want to send him a birthday wish, Jimbo, then do it by email at behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is our email address, behindhomeplatepod, which was the bit I missed out last week, so apologies, @gmail.com. If you've got questions, you want to get in touch. We've actually had loads of questions this week, Jim, about hot and cold players and teams, so that's going to be one of the things we're going to focus on. You can also contact us on Twitter @BHPpod, or you can contact us directly. My Twitter handle is @JohnnyMGould. Jimbo's is @Jam99. We love to hear from you, so get in touch, follow us, subscribe, do everything, but hit a couple of likes, even if you don't. Now, on this show, Jim, we've got loads, and therefore really got to get stuck in. I've already mentioned that I'm feeling hot. So we're going to be discussing hot start. I think probably more appropriate we discuss cold start. We're also going to be doing the behind home plate science experiment. I'm not quite sure about that as a title, because that's referencing, of course, the fact that we've got our very first guest of the season, and an absolute pleasure to welcome Tracy Wilkes, co-presenter of the Girls with Balls podcast.
Birds with Balls podcast.
What did I say? Yes. I said girls. I do a podcast. I missed out on the alliteration. Birds with Balls. It's a great name. And in fact, she's a podcaster across the board. I think she's got three. I thought two was enough. She's doing three. Anyway, Tracy's also a massive UK Mets fan, and we're going to be talking Mets baseball, which is important, Jimbo, as a couple of Braves fans, that we open our horizons beyond the other teams in the NL.
I think you're right. It's like eating a sort of a health food smoothie or something in the morning, isn't it? We need to eat our greens and discuss the Mets. So
you mean supporting the Braves is like eating fried food? Is that what you're saying?
It's tasty, but like not very more like a ribeye steak or something, I'd say.
Love it. And finally, of course, we're going to be doing our usual. We're going to be doing the suitcase. We're going to be doing the Hail Mary. And I can confidently predict there is no way you can improve this week in the Hail Mary on last week.
No, probably no. We. I'm probably going to refer back to that one for the rest of this season, to be honest. Yeah, last week you'll remember the Hail Mary. We talked about Huascar Ulloa, the Braves pitcher who only went and did 6 innings, 10 strikeouts. And we also talked about Lou Trevino, Johnny's golf jokes about Lee Trevino, who does appear to have become the Oakland closer. And considering both of those players were rostered in less than 1% of leagues this time last week, I'm feeling pretty happy about that. And I might kind of rest easy on Hail Marys for the rest of the season now.
But not only do they fit in the Hail Mary, but I can guarantee they don't fit in the suitcase anymore, because neither of them are going to be rostered in less than 20% anymore. And I know that for a fact, because Young Ulloa is in virtually every team I have. I went straight away off the back of our pod last week and I picked him up everywhere. Every team needs some pitching, and I got him literally across the board. So if he stinks the place up in a couple of weeks, I'm blaming you.
Excellent.
Okay, right. Section one, let's get started. Hot starts. And certainly from a team perspective, there's been the obvious one in the National League is the LA Dodgers. And the not so obvious one in the American League, I can't believe I'm saying this, the hottest start is the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, surprising. Absolutely. I think it's rather ominous, really, in the National League to find the Dodgers already with the best record. They're 9-2. The Padres are trying to keep up with them. But yeah, for everybody else, that's like, oh gosh, at least give us a chance. At least start slow. But, you know, they're looking good. But the Red Sox, as you say, they've just reeled off 7 wins in a row. The hitting's looking really strong. J.D. Martinez is on the return. Rafael Devers is doing well. Lots of other players. But it's great for baseball. I mean, the Red Sox, as you often say, appear to have the biggest following in the UK. So yeah, great for baseball. We thought it might be a titanic tussle between the Yankees, who I fancied, and the Blue Jays, who you did, and obviously Tampa, who did well last year. So yeah, great story. And yeah, do you reckon it'll last?
I hate to say it, but I don't. But I think that division will be a lot more competitive than perhaps any of us thought. I mean, if you look at it at the moment, 4 teams have got exactly the same record. So I don't think anybody's going to be a whipping boy. Even the Orioles have got a decent hitting lineup and the odd decent pitcher, John Means, I fancy. I think it's going to be very competitive. I don't see Boston at the top of the pile at the end of the season. But as you say, it's great for baseball because they are a very popular team. They've got a huge following. So that is fantastic. From a cold perspective, and I can't believe that I'm talking about the Atlanta Braves. I mean, they're not the worst team in the National League, but they're not far off. And they're certainly pretty much the worst in the NL East. And in the American League, even worse, is the Oakland Athletics, who we both tipped to win the West.
Yeah, that is a slight surprise. I mean, it's I know we're only 10 games in, but they look pretty bad the first few games. So hopefully their hitting will turn around. But yeah, they seem to have let in an awful lot of runs in the first 10 games. So yeah,
their run differential is massive. Minus 26, 74 runs conceded. And that is the worst record in the whole of the major leagues, buddy. The whole
that is a lot for 10 or 11 games. That is a lot of. That is a
yeah,
lot
in fairness,
of
it's 12. It's 12 games as we're recording tonight on the 14th. They've played 12 games, but still, that is almost double some of the other teams. I mean, that is horrific, absolutely horrific. Anyway, let's focus now on the hot players, because what we need to do is help our listeners pick up some players for their fantasy team or make a proper trade. Let's just focus on hitting first of all. Can you give me a couple of names that you think genuinely good, solid hot starts that suggest to you these are players who are not just streaky players, but perhaps players on the verge of a genuine breakout?
Yeah, I suppose I wanted to talk about buying high this week, because last week we talked about the Yerminator, Yermin Mercedes. We talked about your friend Akil Badu.
So Baddie's Badu, I love it. Another home run last night, Jimbo. Another home run.
I saw.
Fire.
But
he's on fire.
Both of those guys, if somebody offered me a top 100 player for them, I would absolutely take it in a trade. But there are other players who've started off incredibly strongly who I would still, I would buy high at, even if, you know, the asking price is incredibly high. So I'd say two hitters in particular. Number one, Vlad Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays. Yeah. I think this is for real now. Really strong prospect pedigree. First couple of years, maybe slightly disappointing compared to some people's expectations of what he would deliver. I think we're beginning to see that now. So, you know, 378 batting average, 521 on base percentage, a couple of home runs, a stolen base. I think he's going to be really solid. And I think by the end of the season, he will have cemented his position in the top 25, 30 players.
Okay. And the second name that I saw on the script, I 100% agree with you. The boy from Minnesota, Brian Buxton, absolutely tearing the leather off the ball.
Yeah, Byron Buxton, probably, you know, the number one prospect in baseball before Vlad Jr. was. And he's taken 4 or 5 years to get to this stage. Injuries have always been a problem. But, you know, that talent has always, always been in there. So, I mean, I know we're only 10 or 11 games in, but still, seeing Buxton with a 469 batting average, 528 OBP, already 5 home runs, already a stolen base. If only he can stay healthy all season, that is an almost guaranteed second round pick in fantasy baseball next year.
Okay, what about from a pitching perspective? Who's taken your eye?
Well, a lot of pitchers, to be honest. I think a lot of the stud pitchers have started the season very strongly. So I think that's quite interesting in itself. But one player who I think we did talk about a bit before season, and I actually shied away from through all of my drafts. I have him nowhere. I thought arguably he was going slightly too high. I was completely wrong. And that is Corbin Burnes of the Milwaukee Brewers. So he's only made 2 starts, but they have been absolutely sensational. 12 innings pitched, 20 Ks across those 12 innings. 0.73 ERA. And of course, sadly, it being the Brewers, he's ended up with absolutely zero wins for it. But there is a top 25 pick in next year's fantasy baseball.
Not just zero wins, one loss. He's actually lost a game. I mean, he's the Jacob deGrom of Milwaukee. Do you feel that perhaps we undervalued him because everyone was talking about Brandon Woodruff as being the ace and also being potentially having a breakout season?
Yeah, I mean, I think Woodruff's brilliant as well and will continue to be so. But that kind of dominance, you know, 20 strikeouts for every 12 innings is really impressive. And Woodruff would have cost you more. He'd have cost you a higher draft pick or more money in an auction league than Burns would. So, and I think next year they will be neck and neck, if not Burns further ahead. But I'm incredibly excited and incredibly disappointed that for every Hail Mary I get wrong, I got this, every Hail Mary I get right, I should say. I got Corbin Burns wrong. I thought he was overrated. I was incorrect.
Okay. Before I let you go on this, I do want to get one last question out there. There are other players, the likes of Tyler Glasnow, Joe Musgrove, of course, who almost had a perfect game through a no-hitter for San Diego the other day, and some RPs, Mark Melancon's right at the top of the pile, Jake McGee. Are these just good starts, but not necessarily representative of anything more?
No, I think both Melanson and McGee are closers on good teams. The Padres and the Giants have both started strong. They're both well into their 30s. They're both veteran relievers, but they are getting the saves on winning teams. I think Musgrove's interesting and Glasnow's interesting. I think Glasnow has been absolutely sensational, again, similar to Burns, actually, in his numbers. Again, with Glasnow, it's always been about health. I can't remember what the most innings he's ever pitched in a season. It's like 124 or something. But, you know, for him to really be that kind of top five, top 10 pitcher, he needs to become more of a workhorse and prove that he can deliver, you know, 170, 180, 200 plus innings a season. That's what he needs. Musgrove, I don't know. I think, you know, you saw the nine innings pitch, no end runs last week. Fantastic start. Brilliant for him. And he seems to have found something extra in San Diego. He's always been a good pitcher. To me, he's not on kind of that true ace level. I really like him. I know you've got him in several leagues and that's great. I wouldn't be paying through the nose for Musgrove. And if somebody wanted to offer me a, you know, a top 30 level bat, I'd probably take it.
And I'm going to be cruel here, Jimbo. I mentioned the fact that I'd picked up Musgrove in a number of my teams. And you've got to be honest with me. About 10, 14 days ago, you were poo-pooing the decision. You weren't impressed. Were you regretting that reaction? Are you now willing to tell the community of fantasy baseball in the UK, I was wrong and Goldie was wrong?
Not necessarily. You are right about many things, Jonathan, of course. But no, I think at the time we were kind of debating the merits of Max Fried versus Joe Musgrove. I mean, now Max Fried's just hit the injured list this evening, yeah. And Joe Musgrove's looking good. So, but at the time, I would have taken Max Fried 10 times out of 10. Maybe that'll be wrong this season. So, yeah, who knows? And I hope you and Joe will be very happy together. You make a lovely couple. Hey, he's a great pitcher. He's a great pitcher. He's just not for me. He's not a top 10 pitcher. He's not a true ace. I'd still, you know, I'd rather have Snell or Darvish if I was starting for the Padres in game one of the World Series.
Great stuff. Okay, well, moving on. And it gives me very great pleasure to welcome to Behind Home Plate our very first guest of the 2021 season from Birds with Balls podcast. Great pleasure to welcome Tracy Wilkes. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, but I'm loving the background. For those that can see, we've got the UK Met sign. There you go. Yeah, don't go too far. Slightly ruins the effect.
Never mind.
Tracy, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, an inaugural member of our Rookie Fantasy League. We'll get to that in a moment. But you are a prolific podcaster. I mean, I was looking at the list. Birds with Balls, Mets Across the Pod. Love that name, by the way. Love that name. Across the Pond MLB. And I also understand you do guest slots as well. Where do you find time to live outside the world of baseball?
I'm lucky I have a very understanding husband who encouraged me lots. He bought my microphone for me a couple of years ago for Christmas. That's a bit of an all singing, all dancing one, and he just lets me get on with it because he knows I enjoy it.
So explain the background to your love of baseball, and in particular your love of the Mets.
First caught a game in September of 2016. It was late September. It was a really good game. We won against the Washington Nationals. There was a horrific injury in outfield. Who was it? It was Nick Johnson and Austin Kearns ran into each other. Nick Johnson broke his thigh bone. It came popping out of the flesh.
And, oh!
Yeah.
And you were there to see it. I was like, hang on. Are you fell in love with the game? It's just somebody died.
Not because of the injury, but because the way the crowd reacted, they all applauded him when he was on the buggy getting taken off.
Yeah.
They're all very respectful.
Yeah, it'd be a bit harsh if they started chucking beer cans at him. You wimp, get back on the field.
Well, yeah, but all the players were going over saying, like, good luck, wishing you well in your recovery, whatever. And I don't know, just the way people were, I just fell in love with the game, the team, the stadium, Shea back then as it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. I remember, yes, a doubleheader, saw Greg Maddox against your Fab Mets. But, yeah, ooh, happy days. Nice. Yeah, we actually won that one, yes.
Yeah, we should apologise, Tracy. It's not exactly fair for your first guest appearance with us that, obviously, as a Mets fan, you're sitting here in the company of two hardcore Braves fans. So we understand the Mets reference, but what about podcasting? Where did that all come from? But particularly with regards to Birds with Balls, which I think is the podcast you're most famed for, with your mates Joe Linton and Molly Wilcox. Tell us a bit about how that all started.
It started off as a bit of a passion project. We were getting a bit frustrated about the lack of women's sports in the media, the lack of coverage. It's gotten better, admittedly, since we started. I like to think we started a bit of a trend, but it was just our way of sort of getting across that women's sport does exist. It happens all the time. And especially with there becoming a women's GB baseball team this year, which one of our team members, Molly, is trying out for.
Brilliant.
We just thought we want to be the ones to shine the spotlight on women's sports and just celebrate it in all its fabulousness. And it's basically three women that get very drunk and have a laugh and talk about sports.
Well, you're obviously great mates, and there is great chemistry between you, which is fab. And it's a good listen. It's a fun listen. And as the name suggests, it does what it says on the tin. But it's not just sport in general, is it? I mean, you are very much hardcore baseball fans, and baseball does seem to dominate.
Yeah, we are all baseball fans. Molly and Joe both play baseball for Bristol Baseball Club as well.
Right. Neighbours to me. I live in Bath. They're just down the road.
Well, there you go. You should pop along and see them.
I will. That's a promise.
Well, I'll be telling them that when we're recording tonight. So
we're still in lockdown, don't forget.
Fab, sounds good. Right, that's excellent. But can we talk a bit about fantasy? Because that's what I really want to know about. Because you kindly agreed to be a guinea pig in the inaugural Behind Home Plate Fantasy League. And so this is your first season playing fantasy baseball. That is correct, yes?
I've sort of dabbled with it in the past, but this is my first serious season of it, yeah.
So you are genuinely a rookie then, Jimbo. I think that's what you're driving at. We can safely say... She hasn't just sneaked in just wanting to win a league like a certain presenter I won't mention.
Or a science experiment, as you lovingly referred to me as, yes.
I think that was it. But really, yes, I mean, it's a perfect experiment. We get you on now, see how it was, and then at the end of the season, see, you know, kind of how you'd find it, whether you'd enjoyed it, whether you'd be back for more. So, yeah, just tell us a little bit kind of about, you know, how did the draft go? What were you trying to achieve? Did you have specific targets, or did you just feel like a headless chicken amongst all the jokes about Johnny in the draft chat room?
Well, yeah, it was a bit like that. I was quite low down in the draft picks. I was 19th, I think, out of 20.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit harsh. I know it was done randomly, but I always felt that, you know, far be it from me to suggest that James did that deliberately, Trace, but that did seem a tad harsh on you. You had all my sympathy, if I'm brutally honest.
Oh, thank you.
Particularly when I look at your team, by the way. I printed it off this morning. I know you took a bit of a... You lost out in week one to five live legends. I mean, is there any surprise that happened? But it was 4-6. It was tight. But I'm looking at your team. This is the question I'm immediately going to ask. You are a hardcore New York Mets fan. And yet, I think I'm right in saying there are five Atlanta Braves in your lineup. Travis Darno, Chris Martin, Charlie Morton, Ian Anderson. Where's the fifth one gone? No, maybe only four. Is there any Mets? I don't think there is. And you haven't got a bet. Well, what's going on?
Well, the good ones went early.
Well, obviously, there are a couple of decent ones. You've got a half-decent starting pitcher. You've got a very decent first baseman. But have you got anybody that perhaps is flying below the radar, maybe on the verge of being called up, that you might be able to let the rest of us in on?
A good under-the-radar pick is probably someone like Luis Guillorme.
Okay. Loving
that. Okay.
Yeah, he's getting plenty of plate time at the moment. Probably a bit more because VR sucks. but yeah,
I think it's quite interesting. I agree because he'll be on everybody's waiver wires, and he is playing most days at the moment. And and that's what you want. We talk so often about getting kind of plate appearances and stuff, but if you talk about the Mets and kind of, if I just reverse 1 second into kind of the bigger names, you know, we've all sort of heard of Jacob deGrom and Pete Alonso and stuff. But what about some of the other pitching? I mean, we've always thought of the Mets as a fantastic place to go for pitching. What about Marcus Stroman this year? He's somebody who sat out last year. What are your hopes for him this year?
I'm hoping that he has a good level of game fitness, plenty of stamina because of opting out because of COVID last year. And that he can eat up a few innings because our bullpen can be a bit ropey sometimes.
Yeah, no, Johnny loves Edwin Diaz. So we're coming here in a second. He's one of Johnny's
This was a hot tip of mine. Shows you what I know about baseball there, Tracy. But this was a hot tip of mine. I thought he was going to have the sort of Liam Hendricks season of closers. Hasn't started well. Mind you, not exactly had that much chance. I mean, but what impact do you think is going to be had by the fact that the Mets have had almost half the games of some other teams at this stage of the season?
I think we always talk about it being an opportunity, actually. I think Mets are a buy, and that's part of the reason of having Tracy on today. They've started a bit slowly. They've played less games. They've had some COVID issues, although they're playing Washington, who did. So any team who's got more, we saw it last season, you can actually really take advantage of teams who played far less than other teams. So I think a lot of Mets. And there's still some players getting slightly under the radar. I think Michael Conforto is slightly undervalued.
Disagree.
You don't like him?
He's a very streaky player, and at the moment he's in very much a cold streak.
Yeah, I have him.
Well, he's not only in a cold streak, he's been sent off in the cold corner after what he did with his elbow the other night. What was your thoughts on that, Tracy?
I think he's a better player than that. He knows better than that. I think it was sort of an instinctive, I'm slumping, I want to help the team win.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, this is when he stepped in front of the plate and took a pitch on his elbow and won the game for the Mets in a slightly unsportsmanlike manner.
Yes.
But do you know, guys, I mean, I really like the fact, Tracy, that you're taking a moral stand on this. I completely believe that you're absolutely 100% right. My slight worry is that Major League Baseball needs some sort of cut off the loophole. I mean, if the ball's going to be a strike, you can't be hit by pitch. If you've got a rule like that, end off. The problem's solved.
Yeah, but it was the ump's decision on the day that it wasn't so.
Even though we've
had a few umpiring decisions go against the Braves early this season, so it's challenging. Can I ask you about Steve Cohen? So you've got a new owner. Uncle Steve. Yeah, he's got incredibly deep pockets. Realistically, you know, you are one of the most well-known Mets fans in the game. I mean, when does he have to have delivered a World Series by? And I mean, maybe getting to the World Series rather than actually winning it.
I think realistically within the next 5 years. He said that from his very first presser, that he thinks that we shouldn't sell the farm to win now, which is a refreshing take. And the fact that he's actually talking as well is definitely different to our previous ownership.
Yeah.
And Tracy, obviously, as a presenter of Mets Across the Pod, you've got your finger on the pulse of UK Mets fans. Well, what is the sense amongst them in terms of their optimism about the new owner? I mean, new owner, new money, new hope, but potentially same old Mets producing the same old results or not? Is there a sense of optimism?
They were really pleased with the Lindor extension and the Lindor signing in the first place. Bit of disappointment that there weren't others to go with it, because we were chasing George Springer at one point. But
yeah, I think he'd have been
he's
fantastic.
He's injured at the moment.
You were one of my fave fantasy players.
But you were connected with virtually every player out there, and some that aren't. I mean, Chipper Jones apparently got a call. You've got to be a bit disappointed that you thought maybe there was going to be a tsunami of new blood, and yet you did make the one major signing. So there was disappointment amongst Mets UK fans?
There was, but it was tempered with a lot of realism because, like I say, he said from his very first press conference with Sandy Alderson that he was not going to give up every player in our farm system just to win for the next year or two. He wants to win long-term every year for the next 5 to 10 years.
So create a dynasty, basically. Don't do Miami Marlins. Don't do what was then the Florida Marlins. Win a World Series, then sell everybody and then be rotten for 5 years and then win another one. Yeah. He wants a dynasty.
Yes, he wants to develop the farm system, because at one point it was one of the best farm systems in the majors, and he wants to refill that and to build up from the core of players that he inherited, if you like.
Yeah. Do you think that's the right way forward, Jimbo?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredibly, you know, it's not as storied a franchise as it should be. And playing in a city that big a media market, the Mets should have a lot more success than they do. As a Braves fan, I'm delighted that so many things have gone so wrong for them in recent years. But yeah, I mean, I'm concerned. I was surprised there weren't more big hitters this year. And that's why I'm saying, from a fantasy point of view, there are still people. It's a great place to pitch. It's not yet a great place to hit. The lineup feels quite deep now. But again, in even the problems that seem to surround the Mets, he's got to get beyond that. So there can't be a lull Mets kind of moment every season, which this seems to be at the moment.
Because I have to say, Tracy, one of the things that I've noticed on social media just of late is genuine sympathy amongst all baseball fans for poor old Jacob DeGrom, because the man pitches like a superstar and has done for donkey's years, gets no run support and never picks up a win. I mean, how does that feel as a Mets fan?
Blooming frustrating. The other day he went, I think it was 8 innings, he ended up getting a hit himself, and that was one of the only hits in that game.
Crazy.
He's such a gentleman about it. Afterwards in the press conferences, he's like, yeah, we need to do better. We need to do better. Not my team need to do better. We need to do better.
Just before we move on from this Mets chat, I'm really interested in how your family, your friends, have they reacted to what you're doing, particularly in terms of delivering the message about women in sports, all sports, particularly your involvement with baseball. Well, what's been the general response across the board amongst family and friends?
Really, really good. I get a lot of support from my immediate family. My husband, as I said earlier, he just lets me get on with what I want to do, and just gives me lots of encouragement and praise. And he's my biggest fan. My son thinks it's a bit mad. He's nearly 20 and he looks at me and just rolls his eyes. My mum's a podcaster.
So let me just get this right. Somebody of my generation, or more inclined to my generation, is really optimistic and supportive. But somebody from a young generation who should know better is giving mum a hard time. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, he rolled his eyes at me in sort of a typical teenage boy fashion. And he's like, you're not a YouTuber, Mum. You're not famous.
Fantastic.
Oh, but how little he knows, eh? How little
absolutely,
he knows.
Absolutely. Tracy, one other question very quickly. How do you feel in terms of your optimism with regards to the message that you're trying to drive forward about women in sport when you consider that now the Miami Marlins have a GM, a female GM, King Ng. You've got the San Francisco Giants. You've got a coach, Elisa McKen. You've got in horse racing, Rachel Blackmore. Oh, my God, what a story that is. I was literally crying because my mum always used to back women jockeys, women trainers, massive fan of Jenny Pittman. And now Rachel's just taking the world of racing by storm.
Winning the Grand National at the weekend, Johnny. Yes, that's what you're referring to. Yeah,
yes. Sorry, did I not even mention the Grand National?
No,
sorry.
No, no.
See, I...
No, but,
Jimbo, I assume the world now knows who Rachel Blackmore, I didn't need to label her in any way, shape, or form. She's a jockey.
Some very kind feedback from some of our international listeners pointing out that they weren't actually totally familiar with the UK horse racing scene. So I'm just removing that. But yes, we had the first ever female winner of the Grand National, the biggest horse race in the UK, at the weekend, which is a huge moment. So yeah.
But there's also a coach in the NFL. There's a female coach in the NSL. Someone I've met through my work, Baroness Tanny Gray Thompson, 11-time Paralympic gold medal winner, hugely influential in the world of women's sport and driving forward the message. Are you optimistic, Tracy?
I am. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the world is now ready for more women in sports, more women in sports broadcasting. And they are becoming more accepting of more women being in a man's world, if you like. We're getting really good feedback. We're doing something at the moment, which is a dream team made up of women from other sports in baseball positions.
This is on your podcast, Birds with Balls.
Yes, on Birds with Balls. And
I saw that Dina Asher Smith, hasn't she just gone in centre field? Or
she has, yes.
Yeah.
And it's all British women that play sports other than baseball or softball.
Right.
And we're giving them positions on a baseball field, and we're having fun with that, and we're getting lots of positive feedback and shining lights on different women in sports that people might not have heard of.
And I'm assuming once you've filled all the field slots, you are going to need a few people in the dugout. And I'm thinking Tanny Gray Thompson is a shoo-in. She's a shoo-in, surely.
She can be our manager. How
exactly,
about that?
Exactly. The Joe Torre of the Birds with Balls. Fantastic stuff. Right, now, Tracy, we want to ask you some quickfire questions so we get a sense of the person you are. You up for this? These are one-word answers, all we need.
Okay.
Here we go. Right. Favourite baseball player?
Jacob deGrom.
No surprise. Most hated MLB rival?
The Phillies.
I'm with you on that one. Absolutely. Absolutely. Favourite baseball memory?
2016 trade deadline, being at the game where Wilmer Flores was crying because he thought he was getting traded.
What a great one. Oh, good shout. Love that. Favourite baseball film?
42.
Oh, because of the historical reference rather than necessarily that it was a great movie?
Both. I actually know a guy that was an extra in that. He did some of the actual baseball scenes as Jackie Robinson.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Yeah. Little personal involvement there. Favourite other sport other than baseball?
It used to be football. I don't really have one anymore.
You're so into your baseball. Great answer. Yes. Most inspirational sportswoman?
Going for a local lady, because I'm in Sheffield, for those that don't know. Jess Ennis-Hill.
Okay, great shout. What an amazing woman. What an amazing... I was there on Super Saturday, by the way, to cheer her home for her gold medal. What a night.
Fantastic. With
my wife. Yeah, one of the greatest nights of my life, actually, I have to say. Great, that was fantastic. Thank you, Tracy. Right, we're going to move on to the last bit of the show. We're running out of time. And this is, of course, one of the most popular items that is the suitcase. Now, for a quick reminder for you, Tracy, this is for players rostered in less than 20% of all ESPN fantasy baseball leagues. Have you got a hitter for us?
I have. Travis Shaw, third baseman with the Milwaukee Brewers.
We've got him in our Bat Flips and Nerds Invitational side.
We do, yeah. He started off really good. I say he was great for the Brewers a few years ago. So if he's back to that kind of form, I think a really good idea. I love the fact that we make our guests now actually bring items to put in the suitcase.
Well, we should have asked her for a bit of merchandise while we're at it, yes.
I think you're right. I'm going to give you two other hitters then. So along with Travis Shaw, one that rhymes with him, Miles Straw, outfielder at Houston.
Stolen bases.
If you need stolen bases, he got two at the weekend. And JG, I know you like some rookie nookie.
I certainly do.
So I'm going to give you Jazz Chisholm, second baseman of Miami, starting to heat up, again getting some second baseman. I think he could be really interesting going forward. So Travis Shaw, Miles Straw, Jazz Chisholm.
I saw some footage of him, by the way, on Twitter when he was arriving at the ball game. Oh, my Lord, what a character. We're talking about we're needing characters in baseball. This boy's got it all, and I'm loving the name. Okay, moving on.
Good.
Yeah, pitchers. Sorry, mate.
Tracy, who have you got in the suitcase for pitchers?
Right, I'm going to try and say this right. It's Anthony Desclafani for the San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco Giants.
Love that pick. I mean, the Giants seem to be amazing at reclamation projects. Look at what they did for Kevin Gausman last year. Desclafani's had two sensational starts. San Francisco, great place to pitch. And yeah, rostered only in about 12-13% of leagues seems astonishing. So really interesting.
That won't last long. Now that Tracy's fronted up, I can tell you he's going to be charging. I'm writing the name down as we speak. Okay, Jimbo, what about you?
I'll give you a couple of very different ones. So one, we always kind of seem to go on closer watch, and we've referenced earlier how well we sort of did with Lou Trevino last week. I'm going to give you Lucas Sims. I think Lucas Sims will end up being the Cincinnati closer within the next few weeks. Currently rostered in only 10% of leagues. So I think that's interesting. And the other name is a bit of a blast from the past, Michael Fulmer, rostered in only 2% of leagues at Detroit. His numbers have been really good. And with Tehran hitting the injured list, looks like Michael Fulmer might be re-entering the Detroit rotation. That's a slightly scary place to do, but his velocity's up this year. So that might be something to look at. I might pick him up, stick him on the bench, see how he gets on. So yes, Anthony Desclafani, Michael Fulmer, Lucas Sims. They are our suitcase pitchers.
Fantastic. And thank you for your input, Trace. Two great choices. Right. Hail Mary. Tracy, don't worry. We're not going to ask you to find a player rostered in less than 1% of the league. This is Jimbo's. And I tell you what, he was amazing last week. We referenced that at the top of the show. What about this week, Jim? Any hope that you can match that shout?
I don't know. I think it's tough going, but yes, you know, is this the week that I've made up the name of a name of a player for you, JG? So I remember last year we had Jose Marmolejos, who had you rolling in the aisles. So this year, I'll give you Kyle Garlick this week. Does he exist,
yes! Or have I? Well, he's warding off the vampires of baseball. That's for sure. Minnesota outfielder.
Yeah, Minnesota outfielder. So I've put him in as a hitting one. He's been hitting in the second spot for Minnesota. He's done really well, but Josh Donaldson's back this week. I think he might be the man who loses his spot. So my Hail Mary this week is a pitcher. It's Josh Fleming of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's going to be called up this week. He's going to be in the rotation. He looked brilliant in spring training. He's rostered less than 1% of leagues. I would absolutely own him even in a 12-teamer.
This might be the first time in history, Jimbo, in all the episodes that we've done of our show, that I actually know the player that you've just referenced and have I've been looking at him. And guess what? He may even be on a couple of my waiver wires. So we'll have to make... I'll tell you what, I'm not putting this out for a day to make sure that I pick him up. Fantastic. Right, we're completely out of time, guys. We're completely out of time. Thank you for everybody for listening in. As always, we do want to hear from you. Email us, please, on behindhomeplaypod@gmail.com. I think I got that wrong last week. Apologies. The email is behindhomeplaypod@gmail.com. Plus, of course, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at @BHPPod or contact us directly. Me on Johnny M. Gould and James on @Jam99. And do check out Birds with Balls, and that's just one of them, Mets Across the Pod and Across the Pond MLB. If you haven't done so already, it's a great listen. Tracy, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
No, real pleasure. And please give our best to Joe and to Molly, and I'll do my level best to get down and watch them in Bristol.
Excellent. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to have you there.
Fantastic. Jimbo, as always, you're a legend, mate. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. See you soon. Chat soon, JG.
Look forward to it. To Tracy, to James, thank you. And to each and every one of you for listening, thank you for joining us in the best seats in the house, behind home plate.